May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Michael Wertheimer for the Connecticut Attorney General's Office. I'd like to reiterate my reservation of 4 minutes for rebuttal. The wholesale electricity market in Connecticut is broken. It's a hybrid system in which the high-cost generators receive subsidized rates and the low-cost generators reap windfalls. In fact, this can happen simultaneously on the same site by plants owned by the same parent company.
I have a very general question.
Yes, Your Honor.
What's the difference between a windfall profit and a profit?
Windfall profits are one, I don't think there's any numeric quantification, but is that far exceed the profits that would be available to a supplier or a provider in a workably competitive market. In this case, workably competitive market.
Workably, what does that mean, workably competitive?
Let me try to explain, Your Honor. In the hybrid market,
go ahead.
Thank you. The hybrid market is part regulated, part of the generator is regulated, part are unregulated. The regulated generators receive their cost plus a regulated rate of return that is set by the FERC and is set at levels that it determined to be just and reasonable. That's about 11%. The evidence that we presented below at the FERC indicate that the returns that we describe as windfalls being reaped by the unregulated generators approach 100%, roughly 10 times the regulated rate of return. That is why, Your Honor.
What period of time?
That was for the year. It was a projected rate of return for the year at the time that we filed the case at the FERC, which was 2005.
What was their margin in the year before that?
Your Honor, that was not part of the record below.
Right. And what was the margin in the year after that?
Your Honor, it is our contention that the profit levels have remained constant since that time to date.
Does the record reflect that?
The record only reflects the evidence that we put in with our petition, which the FERC denied.
And what I'm raising for you is the snapshot problem that the commission highlights, that you really have not determined that there's anything extraordinary or improper about a profit margin unless it is placed into the world of risk and return over time, not simply at a point in time.
Understood, Your Honor, but I beg to differ for the following reason. The evidence that we presented was a projection for a year. Now, the Federal Power Act requires that rates be just and reasonable, and that, as you correctly noted, is in a zone of reasonableness. And we did not assert that is a snapshot. It's not a one-day venture. It is over the course of a year. Now, this petition was filed in 2005. These market conditions we complain of persist today, which is 3 years. And FERC is saying in their filings, well, let's just wait till halfway through 2010. Maybe something changes later. That, in our judgment, is beyond any zone of reasonableness to make customers pay rates that are well above levels that be considered just and reasonable, not for one day, not for 1 month, and not for 1 year, but for a period of years. Now, the hybrid market as it exists is clearly a win-win for generators. Generators that can win these exorbitant profits do. Those that can't are assured no less than regulated profit levels. There's no risk of failure, and therefore there's no real competition. However, for consumers, it's exactly the opposite. It is a completely losing proposition. We submit that the rates that have resulted from this hybrid market are far higher than just and reasonable, therefore in violation of the sections 205 and 206 of the Federal Power Act. Now, FERC rejected our position basically on the ground that they acknowledge that the prices are higher across the board and in the aggregate than they would be under a fully regulated market, but they assert that these high prices will somehow incent new lower cost generation into the market, which will then lower prices. Now, this firmly relies on the Farmers Union case, in which this court held that the FERC can consider non-cost factors, and we agree completely. And the non-cost factor that they are saying is that the high prices that Connecticut consumers are stuck with are going to incent lower entry. But Farmers Union also held that they need to not only specify what the non-cost factor is, but explain and justify how the current rate structure is going to achieve and justify that end. And there is no evidence on the record that that can happen, that that has happened. FERC was arbitrary and capricious. FERC's decision was arbitrary and capricious in that they did not evaluate or explain how the prices that Connecticut consumers are paying now will incent the entry of low-cost generation. They just presume that. The facts, however, are entirely different, and if you reverse and remand, as we request, then there could be a proceeding, and at that proceeding, we'll show a couple things. First of all, low-cost generation that they are trying to incent at nuclear plants or coal plants. There has not been a nuclear plant built in this country since the 1970s, and the chances of a new one being built, cited, approved, federal and state approvals, and built in Connecticut are slim to none in the next 10 years, probably 20. Maybe impossible to site one and build one. There are many reasons why state authorities for environmental and security and portfolio balance reasons may not want to site a new nuclear plant there. Same thing for a baseload coal plant. There are environmental considerations. There are siting considerations. It just couldn't happen. So there was no analysis by the FERC that any rates of any level could incent the type of behavior that they're seeking to get. Secondly, there was no analysis or discussion by FERC of, well, even if you could incent this, how high rates have to be? Should it be X? Should it be Y? Should it be Z? 10 times X, 100 times X, or less? And there was also no analysis of whether the rates that have resulted somehow fit into whatever metric that they decided was necessary. We do not dispute that the FERC can consider non-cost factors in setting rates. But we do dispute the way that they resolved this, that they decided this case. They presumed that the rates here would somehow incent this behavior that we submit is impossible to achieve, but they didn't look at that. Getting back to your Honor's question about a snapshot in time, the market rules that the FERC has put in place have been in existence since 2002. Since that time, the market has not incented or developed any of the behavior, responsive behavior, that they rely on at this time. The market has not attracted the low-cost generation that they have said would come in and moderate the price of electricity. The only capacity that the state of Connecticut is developing or will develop is a response, is state-initiated subsidized products that are being built on a cost of service and paid for on a cost of service basis or on a long-term contract basis to remove them from this hybrid market, which has created rates that are exorbitant windfalls beyond levels that are just and reasonable. If you have no further questions, I'd like to reserve the balance of time for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Seeing none, we'll hear from the respondent.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Jennifer Amerkel for the commission. I'd like to address the scarcity, the snapshot issue that Judge Sintel raised. It's true that there was a year of data made available on the cost for three baseload generators to the commission. But the revenues for earlier periods that the commission in its orders said provided the Attorney General and the consumers in Connecticut with better prices than they would have had under cost of service rates. Those revenues were available, and yet the Attorney General did not provide those. I think they would have shown a much different picture than what was provided to the commission. Also, I'd like to point out that that the complaint was made right at the time that that Hurricane Katrina came through, and this caused a huge increase in gas prices because of problems with transporting gas into the Northeast. The commission recognized that and stated that in the compliance order at JA 308. It referenced the hurricane and the increased gas costs, and the Attorney General on rehearing did not respond to that. Also, I'd like to talk about the statement made that there was higher across the board costs than there would be in a regulated market. Again, that goes to the snapshot issue. The windfall, there really are no windfall profits here. You can't show windfall profits with 1 year of data, especially when there's evidence, record evidence, that the commission cited that gas prices had changed dramatically since 2001, that energy prices had risen since 2001, and also that several of the generators were not able to earn even their going forward costs or the costs that they could use to keep their generators running. In short, the rates in Connecticut and New England are just and reasonable. The RMRs are necessary for reliability, and the benefit to Connecticut consumers of these reliability must-run units is that they actually lower the prices in the energy market for the baseload generating units. The commission discussed this several times. It's most clear at JA 304. This is the complaint order, paragraph 77, note 80. The reliability must-run units must bid all of their capacity into the energy markets, and they must do that at a stipulated bid. That's a bid that is determined through indices and predetermined to equal their marginal costs.
How do you respond to counsel's point that the price signaling function here that you rely on, that you actually haven't made the case that it will have an ameliorative effect through price signaling?
Well, for some reason, Attorney General seems to be focused on entry of baseload generators. The commission was much more broad in what it was hoping to drive forward through price incentives. It stated that there needs to be incentives for transmission to be built in Connecticut, that Connecticut has long had a problem with too little import capability through its transmission system. There also needs to be incentives for demand response, and those are short-term. Well, the transmission is not short-term, but transmission has been built in Connecticut because of the pricing incentives. But demand...
How recently has that happened?
The transmission project that Attorney General sought to have built before the commission would do a competitive market analysis, that is going to be completed next month. Both phases of a 345 kV very big project. So transmission has continued to be built in Connecticut, in New England.
How about generation? Is he right on that? That the
baseload generation does take, if you're talking about nuclear and coal units, it does take a long time, especially for a nuclear unit. Coal, I think, can be done in about 5 years, but I don't have any record evidence to point you to. But if there was a will to get a coal power plant built, I think that would happen. There's been a lot of other generation built in New England since these orders were issued. And then demand response is something that can happen in a very short period of time, and it can actually have a very big impact on the prices. And finally, I'd like to remind the court that these reliability must-run agreements are transitional agreements. They will end when the forward capacity market fixes the revenue problems that mid-level and peaking unit generators were having. The forward capacity market was approved by this court earlier this year, and it is a market mechanism to provide capacity revenues to generators, and it works in conjunction and cannot be separated from the energy pricing system, the locational marginal pricing.
I mean, is that really an answer that we understand it's a dysfunctional market, but we're going to fix it in due course?
No, Your Honor, it's definitely not.
It's kind of a strange approach that you allow a pick'em. Everybody in the state can do pick'em, right? You can go either way, RMR or market.
No, Your Honor, they cannot.
No?
No. If you look at, I'm trying to find the reference. There were some baseload generators, Milford and Bridgeport, that sought RMR agreements. Bridgeport, in particular, had to show that even though it could show 2 years where it did not get enough operating costs to go forward, the commission said 3 years prior to that or more, several years prior to that, it had been able to get revenues. So the commission set that for hearing and looked at it. It didn't do a snapshot like Attorney General did. It looked at the 5 to 7 year period and determined that Bridgeport did indeed need an RMR, but then eventually that unit was taken off of the RMR list because I believe there was some other mechanism that it could use to meet its operating costs. There was a very long proceeding on that Bridgeport proceeding to determine whether the unit actually did have an opportunity to recover its costs. So it is not a free-for-all where units can pick and choose between cost of service and market rates. If there are no further questions.
Seeing none, we'll hear from the petitioner in rebuttal. How much time does he have left? Thank you, counsel.
Counsel, I'd like you to address the issue that your opponent made about that every things are going to change in 2010. These are temporary problems, stopgap measures to get to the final solution.
I intend to, and thank you for the opportunity. Number one, rates must be just and reasonable today. Mm-hmm. They must be in a zone of reasonableness today. This market structure has been in place since 2002, persists today, and now we're hearing FCM is going to come and fix all that. FCM doesn't start till the middle of 2010. Secondly, it's not clear that all RMR contracts are going to go away with FCM, which is the foundation of why they think FCM forward capacity market fixes these problems. Within the last year, another generator in Connecticut made a bid, said, we're just going to delist, we're not going to participate in the FCM. FERC and ISO said, no, you can't do that. We need you. You're back on cost of service, and you have to participate. Third, no one knows what's going to happen with the FCM. Based on the track record of what's happened in this market, if you look at it, something that we have described in our FERC filings as and challenges as regulatory churn. Since these market rules came into place in 2002, there has been one regulatory mechanism imposed on another, each one trying to fix what the last one couldn't. We started out with the locational marginal pricing, then went to what's called push bidding, peaking unit safe harbor bidding. That didn't work. We went to then their LICAP proposal gave way to FCM. We have locational forward reserve market. They changed the market rules when faced with a cold snap issue in the winter of 2004. Not one of them has eradicated the issues that they have sought. Not one of them has made the market competitive. Not one of them has removed any of the plants from RMR. So while they seem to be confident that FCM is somehow going to wave the wand and fix the market, the track record
you want to put them all on RMR, though, right?
I mean, excuse me?
You want to move them all towards RMR.
Yes, Your Honor, until such time as the choice that Judge Edwards said does not exist. The fact is, in responding to Judge Edwards' question to opposing counsel, every generator since these market rules that have began, every generator that has applied for RMR protection has received it. Now, the only two cases that she cited are cases where those generators, Milford and Bridgeport, received the RMR and were subsequently removed in actions taken in part by our office, but with other advocates in the state, because it showed that they were no longer eligible. But every generator has the choice. Every generator that has tried for an RMR contract has received it. So there is, it's a choice. You can have fully regulated rates, which are deemed adequate to cover your cost and give you a reasonable return, or you can do better, but you can't do worse. The reason why we said put everyone on RMR is because there is no competitive market. There's no competitive forces forcing rates down and prices down. And the only thing that will happen is when you do not need every plant in the state for reliability, that's the only time that you will have a fully competitive market. And that's not there yet. That brings me to the transition, Preston, and I need to correct opposing counsel on that, because that is critical to whether there's going to be fully free competition. She is correct in that one transmission project will be done by the end of this year. That's the Middletown Norwalk. That is the 345 line that eliminates the bottlenecks in the flow of electricity between southwest corner of the state of Connecticut, which is closest to New York City, and the rest of the state. But on the books are three new transmission projects, which won't be completed till 2013, 2014, which the FERC and ISO have said are critical for reliability. Those eliminate the bottlenecks that exist between the state of Connecticut and the rest of New England. So the transmission has not fixed it. Second, I'd like to respond to opposing counsel's point about how RMR contracts lower energy prices. She only focused on what it does to the energy prices being provided by the generating plants that are on RMR, which are the higher cost plants. But the way the market rules work in Connecticut and New England is that the highest cost plants that bid into the market that day set the price for everybody. So even if a gas plant, when gas prices are high as they are, is bidding in properly according to the RMR, their prices are still high compared to the relatively low cost of a nuclear plant on a day-to-day basis, operational cost.
What would our order look like, our opinion and order look like, if you win? What are we going to be telling the commission to do?
Reverse the commission's rejection of our petition, remand to the commission to evaluate the evidence, to have a hearing in which evidence is taken to determine whether the non-cost factors...
A trial type hearing?
I'm not going to... I don't know if the court would be appropriate to compel the FERC to...
I'm trying to get to where it is that we're, what it is.
We asked for, and we continue to ask for, a full evidentiary proceeding to justify the rates. This goes back to the Farmers Union question. The question is whether they can justify these rates and the non-cost factors that they relied on in approving these rates, and specified and explain how the non-cost factors explain.
Didn't you have some obligation to show that under your proposed rule it would lead to just and reasonable rates?
I think that we, as you said, put all plants on RMR, which is cost of service regulation. That is, Your Honor, the generally accepted gold standard of just and reasonable rates in the absence of a fully free-flowing, workably competitive market, which we don't have. Cost of service rates that are on RMR, that's good for the 22 plants in the state of Connecticut that are already on them.
What I'm trying to ask you in the end, you're asking that the commission has be required to put everybody on an RMR basis?
That was the relief we sought in our petition that the FERC rejected. I think the question before this court is...
The FERC found that too many RMRs is bad for competition, didn't it?
RMRs at the beginning were supposed to be the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. You have a free market, but if there are few generators that are needed for reliability and there's a specific geographic area within the state, that, and you cannot provide reliable electric service without it, but they can't function economically, only running a few days a year when they're needed for reliability. Now, what we have is far cry from that, Your Honor. We have every plant, new, old, efficient, inefficient.
We've extended you beyond your time, and that's our fault and not yours. So unless my colleagues have further questions, the case will be submitted, and you can give us recess.
Thank you.